In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the hardest lessons for parents to learn is this. Children have to learn some things on their own, just by going through it, by living through it. If you are a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or even a friend, you probably have had this experience. You see a loved one struggling with something that you struggled with once. You see a loved one making the same mistake you made, maybe. And you try to help. You try to help them skip over the really hard, painful part by sharing your own experience, maybe. You want to take their pain away. What parent doesn't want to take their children's pain away? You want to bypass that pain altogether. And you learn the hard way that that doesn't usually work. Any of you had this experience? There are many lessons in life, many experiences in life that can only be learned by living through it yourself. Wisdom does not come in a neat little package that you can hand on to someone else. It has to be lived. It is usually the fruit of hard work, often hard spiritual work. The folks in Alcoholics Anonymous and all the 12-step groups know this very well. You have to do your own work. All of the 12-step programs are programs of difficult spiritual work. Most of us, maybe all of us, know someone, whether in our own families or friends or acquaintances, who refused to accept that they were addicted, whose addiction to alcohol or drugs ruined their life, or sometimes even ended their life, and brought pain to the lives of those around them. The family members and friends of those who have the disease of addiction to drugs and alcohol have to learn the painful lesson that they cannot make that person seek help, or they cannot make them stop drinking or stop taking drugs. The person has to do it themselves. It is a painful, hard lesson to learn. Today, we get the parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids. Every time we end near the end of the liturgical year, and we only have two more Sundays left in our liturgical year before we begin a new year with Advent. Every time this year, usually in November, at least into November, we get some really tough readings in the Gospels. Remember the parable of the wedding banquet we had a few weeks ago, where the guest without a wedding garment was thrown out of the party. This is a similar kind of parable, and it evokes similar questions. Like that other parable, it simply doesn't make any sense if it's taken at face value as a story about outer events. Yes, parables are meant to shake us up and help us see in a different way. But still, this is a difficult parable. Here are some questions, and you might have others from this parable. What made the five bridesmaids foolish? And what made the other five wise? Why wouldn't the wise ones share with the foolish ones? What is the significance of the oil and the lamps? And why did the foolish ones get shut out? We can try reading it this way. What if the oil is really the important thing in this parable? If the oil is symbolic of wisdom, of a lived experience that you have to gain by yourself, if the oil is symbolic of an inner transformation, then the parable begins to make sense. The wise bridesmaids have plenty of oil for themselves because they have been through something. They have gained wisdom. They have been through an important inner transformation. It is their wisdom. And wisdom is not a commodity. It's not something that can be bought and sold. They can't give it away even if they wanted to. Like a parent who desperately wants to save their child pain and trouble by living through something for them, they cannot do so. The wise bridesmaids are wise from the beginning of the story. The foolish ones are foolish from the beginning of the story. The wise ones are ready to join the wedding feast. The foolish ones are not yet ready. And in the context of this parable, told by Jesus and given to us in Matthew's gospel, there is not time for them to get ready. This is a hard teaching. About these hard teachings of Jesus that come mostly toward the end of the Gospels, Cynthia Bourgeau writes, "At some point, the light begins to dawn that Jesus is teaching at a whole different level here. The metaphors work completely differently. These hard teachings are exclusively about inner transformation, not outer actions." Well, as we celebrate our patron saint today, I'd like to shift gears a little bit and go back to some basics about our Anglican Episcopal tradition. I've been doing some continuing education work, rereading some of the Anglican theologians from the 1500s who greatly influenced the beginnings of our tradition. And one of the treasures of our tradition is the ability to live with paradox. In the Anglican Episcopal tradition, from the beginning, we have even rejoiced in maintaining the tension between two seemingly contradictory truths. It is a somewhat difficult thing to do, and it distinguishes us from a lot of the other Christian denominations. From the beginning, the Anglican Episcopal tradition has been one of comprehensiveness. It's sometimes called the via media, the middle way. In the same way that all Christians hold that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, we, in our tradition, are committed to being both fully Protestant and fully Catholic. In our tradition, we hold this tension between personal freedom and communal responsibility. Those truths, those tensions, are always there. As John Westerhoff says, we contend that we live into our baptism by becoming who we already are. This contention makes it possible to affirm two conflicting beliefs, or as I would say, two seemingly contradictory truths. One, that in baptism we are given every benefit from God. The other one, that we must do something after baptism to achieve the benefits of baptism. Both are true, and we hold both in tension. So maybe now we can come back to the parable. In true Anglican Episcopal tradition, we can say that God loves us, each one of us, exactly as we are right now. And at the same time, God wants us to grow and to become more. And God longs for us to become who we are meant to be. In this parable, the wise bridesmaids have traveled far on that journey. And the foolish ones had not yet even really begun the hard spiritual work of inner transformation. The good news is, of course, that God is compassionate and merciful, full of great kindness, and that when we ask God for help with our spiritual journey, help will arrive. Whether that's in the form of a spiritual director, a spiritual companion or friend, a word that speaks to you from the scripture or the sermon, a book on the spiritual life that seems to speak directly to you at this time in your life. When you ask for help, help will arrive. Wisdom cannot be bought or sold. It has to be learned through experience. And if we ask God, God will send us help so that we can find it for ourselves.